Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk summer fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Chuck Roll, and also summer muskies with Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports has new 2023 Can-Am off-road vehicles in stock and ready for anything you can dish out. For a limited time, take advantage of promotional financing on select Can-Am side-by-sides with 1.99% APR for 36 months or 3.99% for 60 months. The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's built extra tough to take you way beyond the daily grind and is the most capable side-by-side for on-the-work site, hunting trips, and anywhere you need it to get the job done. Or, are you ready for some sporty fun? Explore, ride, and roar off-road in the purpose-built-for-anything high-performance Can-Am Maverick. And yes, Defender and Maverick both qualify for the special promotional financing. Or, get the ATV that can go virtually anywhere and do it all for less with the all-new Can-Am Outlander 500 and 700 ATVs. Get work done, tackle the trails, or drag out a trophy whitetail this fall. Get your Can-Am today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. Big fish stories come to life at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The world's largest shrine to freshwater anglers boasts a 4.5-story tall walk-through muskie that's a half a city block long. It's like taking a peek into Granddad's old tackle box with thousands of mounted fish, antique outboard motors, and historical sport fishing artifacts. Stop in and take a chance on our 50-50 cash raffle. You could walk away with a pile of cash. See the big ones that didn't get away at the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, Highway 27 and B in Hayward. Open daily, including Sundays, through October 31st at 9:30 a.m. We're down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, recording with Jarrett McCarthy down here. And Jarrett, you know, summer is going on, and we've got fish going on, and people are catching fish, but it's changed a little bit. It's a little harder a lot of days.
Yeah, definitely when we get into these the dog days of summer, not that we're that warm out there yet, but we see quite a transition from fish moving off those shallow to mid-depth rains out into those you know, those deeper basin areas, or, you know, out into some river channels and stuff like that. Definitely presents a challenge for a lot of anglers.
You know, if you've got good electronics in the boat, whether it's Hummingbird or Garmin or any of that good stuff, even Lowrance, you get out there and you can see it right away because the whole water column is loaded with bug larvae and all kinds of aquatic stuff.
Absolutely. You know, right now going out fishing is kind of like, you know, when you throw your bait down there, it's just one more thing in a long line of a buffet that a fish can pick from. So fish can afford to be picky right now because there's so much food out there.
You know, but sometimes when they start seeing that hatch coming up off the bottom, the fish are active, real active down there feeding. It's those days when I go out there and I see nothing but blank screen from the bottom to the top that make me worry.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one of the big things that we're looking for this time of year is we're looking for a reaction. But, you know, a lot of fish can afford to just sit there and stare at something right now. But if you get something that's coming off bottom or something that's going past their face really fast that they have to react to really quick, that's how you start catching fish.
Let's talk a little bit about walleye fishing. There are people still catching some walleyes. There's some of them catching them at various different methods.
Yep. We got some guys that are still fishing up, you know, relatively shallow for this time of year, catching them up in the wood and in the weeds. And then we've got guys that are already out trolling and running crawler harnesses for them.
You know, amazing. A lot of people think that the walleyes all move deep, but I've seen a lot of walleye swimming around in 5 or 6 feet of water in the middle of the summertime. So they're not always out deep water.
Yeah, and that goes for a lot of different fish. You know, there are several different things that multiple multiple species can be doing at this time of year. They're not all going to be located in one specific area. So, you know, take everything that you hear with a grain of salt. There could be fish all over the place.
As far as the trolling, a lot of guys are going to start doing some trolling now that we can troll. Crawler harnesses, crankbaits, what?
I'm hearing a little bit of both. You know, I've used both and I've been using some crankbaits already this season. You know, we're getting into the phase where crawler harnesses are going to be the key right now. But you could do a little bit of either. It's just whatever you're comfortable with or whatever you know how to do.
Evening bite, crankbait bite is always sometimes pretty good.
Yeah, you know, those morning hours and those evening hours, those are always really good hours. But yeah, those crankbaits, you know, moving them a little bit, oddly, a little bit faster, get those fish to come up and give it reaction on those baits are working really well right now.
What are you hearing as far as the panfish right now?
Panfish are good right now. You know, the couple of lakes I've been fishing, they're starting to move out deeper on the structure. They're getting away from the boat traffic or what have you. So they're, you know, they're definitely moving out a little bit deeper. But if you can key in on them, if you can get over a piece of structure, they are there for the taking.
And there again, too, there are some fish up in real skinny water, too.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking about that earlier with walleye. That'll, you know, it'll go the same with bass and panfish. There's always different populations of fish, no matter where you look.
What's some of your favorite tips you can give somebody as far as catching panfish? I know one of the big things is people go way too heavy. I'll see them trying to catch them with like a number one hook on a big snap swivel or something with a piece of crawler on it.
Absolutely. And when you go really, really big, you're going to lose a lot of those fish and you're going to lose a lot of bait too, because most of those bluegills will just sit there and peck, peck, peck at it and just steal your bait. But, you know, if you're looking to, you know, go catch some panfish, you know, start off with like a 16th ounce jig, 16th, 32nd, 64th, you know, don't be afraid to go with a plastic bait, because a lot of times, especially now that we're in the summer, those plastics will start to outproduce those live baits. One of the reasons is for the sake of time. You know, you don't spend nearly as much time rebaiting all your jigs and your hooks if you've got those plastics. So, you know, grab a jar of those little 1-inch gulp minnows and start running those. And don't be afraid to go into search mode for these fish too, you know. They're concentrated in a lot of areas, so definitely get out there, start pitching for them, just kind of like you would for bass or walleyes, you know. Throw some plastics on, you can even run some mini cranks just to get out and get into search mode. When you finally find a pot of them, anchor up on them and start fishing them.
You hearing anything on the muskies? I know there's a lot of people up here muskie fishing.
There are a lot of people up here muskies. We're hearing a little bit of them. I'm seeing some guys out on the flowage catching some nice fish. Most of the fish are on smaller bucktails right now. I got one, you know, unwittingly the other day on a topwater. It was a nice fish. So definitely a lot of options out there for fishing muskies, but it's all with smaller baits right now.
And don't overlook going out after dark on them.
Absolutely, you know, especially in the summertime when it's still, you know, halfway decent outside after dark. Just definitely keep an eye on the weather, the moon phases or what have you. Get everything to line up for, you know, those fish of 10,000 casts.
You know, the best time usually is that first hour and a half to maybe 2 hours after dark, and that first hour and a half to 2 hours before sunrise in the morning would be your best times.
Yep, absolutely, and that goes to say for a lot of fish too.
As far as bass fishing, that's been pretty good too, especially largemouth.
It has been. You know, we're getting a lot of guys that are moving out a little bit deeper. They're starting to run their drop shots. They're still running Ned rigs, but a lot of guys are out fishing, you know, 10 to 25 feet of water, which is understandable with all the boat traffic that we've been having, but the fishing's been really good.
And that goes for largemouth and smallmouth. They'll move deep.
Yep, and then we'll still have that, you know, that population of largemouth that'll sit up in lily pads and in the weeds, so yeah, a little bit of both places.
And as far as the shop here, you guys are pretty well equipped to supply anything they might need?
Absolutely, and we've still got stuff coming in every day.
Jared, thank you for coming in here.
Thanks for having me again, John.
Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Chuck Roll. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward Area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. Check out their huge selection of musky baits, and again this year, they've expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
get on the water and save on a Lund boat from Hayward Power Sports. Our brand new 2023 Lunds are rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $2,000 on a Lund Impact XS, one of our top-selling aluminum boats for both fishing and recreation. Or save $1,500 on a Lund Adventure, popular with first-time owners for fishing and family fun that will keep everyone smiling. Lunds feature boating's best warranty, and no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, we talked to many different guides and pro anglers here on the show. I had a chance to talk the other night to fishing guide Chuck Roll from Hayward here about summer fishing, and a lot of great tips from Chuck. Chuck, it's great to have you on the show here again. Been a while since I've had you on.
Hey, John, how you doing? Yeah, thanks for having me back.
You know, we're into the summer now, and things really change. This year might be a little bit different year, too, compared to a lot of years. But, you know, the fishing in the summer any year seems to get harder out there for some reason. I think it's because of a lot of food out there for the fish.
I couldn't agree more. There is so much hatching going on. I'm confused if it's minnows or if it's bug hatches, but or both. But, yeah, there's a lot of food. This is a big smorgasbord right now.
Yeah, you know, you've got good electronics like we run now. You know, that stuff shows up on the electronics. You can see it just coming off the bottom and just rafts of it coming up. And that everything out there the fish eat. I think there's nothing they don't eat out there.
Yeah, and you know, not just off the bottom. What I'm finding this year is, and it seems to happen every time there's a weather change, mostly it's when the water cools down, but I'm seeing just a ton of bait coming out of the weeds moving into deep water, like just a big clouds of them moving out of the weeds.
You know, a lot of people want to fish for walleyes, and walleyes that get tougher during the summertime, but you can still catch walleyes out there. You know, it's a little bit different presentation, and a lot of times it's a little slower.
Yeah, I agree. With some really good bites in between the slow times, though. I mean, there's just like before this last front, this last big storm, I couldn't not catch a walleye pretty much anywhere I went, it seemed like. But then the next day, I thought, you know, those kind of days, you really think you got it in the bag. And the next day you go out and you can hardly find a walleye after that. But all those bugs and minnows have hatched and moved out and things start feeding on them.
You know, I think their bite windows are getting really short, too. I mean, it doesn't seem like you've got an all-day bite like you do earlier in the year. It's just, you'll have a couple. I've seen a lot in the afternoon. Just a couple hours in the afternoon they're active, and then it seems like they don't bite until close to dark.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that. It gets slow. And, the tip I give people for that, is, and I try to do it in my boat, is I keep some rods ready no matter what tactic we're using that day. I keep at least one spare rod just laying there ready to go. So if we get a walleye in, let's say, and it's just a big mess and there's a tangle or two people get tangled up, whatever, throw those rods down. If those fish are biting, get two fresh rods running so you don't have to mess with those tangles right then. You know, when the fish do slow down, then you can mess with that.
Yeah, because, yeah, sometimes that time is valuable. They're not going to bite all day, it seems like.
You'd like to think it is in your head, but it could only be 5 minutes, and you could put a lot of fish in the boat in 5 minutes if you don't mess around. But if you get a fish, you take a picture of it, every fish, you know, I tell people, if you want to take a picture, let's take a picture of those things after they're in the live well. After we catch a bunch of them, you know.
You know, and slip bobber seems to be about the best presentation, whether you're fishing out in the deeper stuff or you're fishing shallow, I think, unless you go to trolling. But slip bobber is a good presentation for people to really learn. And you know, it's slip bobber doesn't mean you're fishing way up high or you're fishing down on the bottom. You've got a whole wide range of depths there, and you need to check out different depths because a lot of times in the summer, those fish are 3-4 feet off the bottom. They're not down on the bottom where a lot of people think they are.
Yep, that's totally true, and I couldn't agree more. Slip bobbers are a good tactic, but this year I'm trying to open up a little bit more of me personally, and I'm going back to doing some jigging and drifting and that kind of stuff and just pulling some old methods out that I used to do even before locators were really great. And just went out the other day and just did kind of some slow drifting through some kind of calm water with just a little breeze. And it really shocked me how how productive that can still be, you know.
So, well, you know, I've been fishing a lot of drop shot, and then drop shot works not just for bass, but it's also a very good walleye presentation. It keeps the bait right down there where you want it, whether the bottom goes up or down, you're going to be within a foot or two or whatever you want off the bottom, and it stays there, and you can feel the bottom as you go.
Yeah, and that's true. You mentioned that you're forming the bottom, where slip bobbers, you're really limited to one plane of fishing, you know, and if you're fishing a lot of areas where you got a lot of humps and drop-offs, slip bobbers can be a little tricky, and it can be frustrating because you're only on one spot that can work.
You know, and we were talking walleyes right now, but, you know, when you get to the summer, I tell people all the time is that, you know, you fish for what's biting, you know, and if the walleyes are really tough, there's other fish you could catch. I mean, there's great bass fishing in northern pike, and, you know, we could go on at panfish. They're always going to be able to catch some panfish out there, it seems like.
Definitely, yeah. And I like to tell people right up front, you know, if the walleyes aren't being kind of difficult and you're looking for bringing something home to eat, don't be stubborn about it. You know, look for a crappie or something, because you might just catch a bunch of little walleyes that day, and it's not going to fill up the box that way. Not that I ever try to fill up the box, but, you know, it's nice to get two or three fish for a meal anyway. Sometimes that's hard to do.
And we talk about northerns on the show quite a bit, because we've got a really good northern population on a lot of lakes up here now. And if you're looking for fish to eat, and they're also actually a lot of fun to catch, too. Pike are really good. In my book, they're as good as walleyes.
Well, yeah, and you can't beat the fight either. You know, it's just even a small northern, it just blows my mind every time, especially when you're trying to catch a walleye. And all of a sudden you get a northern tine India, and you could be a small one, but it just amazes me how they can hit so hard.
And people, when they get around where there's pike, they think, naturally, we got to use big, heavy steel leaders. And you really don't have to. I mean, I found that, you know, if you jump up to about 15 to 20 or 25 pound fluorocarbon line, that's pretty bite proof. But there's other options too. You got tieable wire and a bunch of things that you can keep that as a presentation that's not going to chase a lot of fish off, because fish can see that stuff sometimes. You get too much junk hanging in front of your jig or whatever you're fishing with, it's just going to detract for how many fish you're going to catch, I think.
You know, I find sometimes that it seems like northerns care more than walleyes on that situation, even. Like under my tip ups in the wintertime, I know it's not winter fishing anymore, but I can get more northerns on fluorocarbon, and I catch walleyes, not always, but I have caught many walleyes on steel leaders.
Yeah. Well, anybody that thinks that the fish don't look at stuff, I mean, I've actually had muskies where I've watched them come up on a sucker on a quick strike rig and swim up along one side, eyeballing it, and then drop back and swim up along the other side, eyeballing it. I know darn well they were looking at the hardware on that sucker.
Oh, I've definitely seen muskies come up and do that exact same thing, then grab it right by the tail where there's no hook. And then you can't set the hook on that fish. You got to actually play tug of war with them, get them to drop the sucker and re-grab it. And they will do that, but you got to know that, you know, and see them do that too. So,
and the more we fish for these fish and the harder we fish, I think the fish get smarter. I don't know. It just seems that way anyhow.
Yep, I think so. And there's lots of fishermen out there, you know, educating fish too. But then there's always those windows, like we talked about before, where their instincts just take over and they grab hard.
I say this with musky fishing, but I say with any kind of fish, is that, you know, you've got two different ways that fish are going to hit your lure or your bait. One, they're eating something, or two, it's out of aggression or just instinct. It's there. Kind of like if you got a mosquito flying around 10 feet from you, it doesn't bother you. But if you start flying around in your face, you're going to take a swat at them. And I think walleyes, panfish, anything else, when you drop a bait right in front of their face, and they're going to take a swipe at it. And that just means that unless you're running something like this forward-facing sonar like LiveScope or something, you can't see what's going on in the fish there. You got to actually rely on making a lot of casts and just keep covering a lot of water, because at that some point you're going to put it in front of a fish, and that fish is like to respond by biting on your lure or bait.
Yep. No, I think you said it all right there. And, a lot of times. And I still go off old methods of not even seeing fish, trying spots that I believe in. And it's amazing how many times I don't mark fish, especially back to walleyes, how I don't mark those walleyes, and all of a sudden there's one down there. Or crappies, too, and big ones. I find bigger crappies where I'm not even seeing them, let's say, going over crib or something. Didn't mark anything, but just had an idea there might be down there. And they're in those cribs. They will come out at times and put it in front of their face, though. You're right.
I think the bigger crappies, especially, when you start getting them fish over 12 inches, I think a lot of them fish hold really tight to that cover or structure or cribs. They just don't suspend way up high like the smaller fish do, and you got to get it right down in front of them.
Yep. I even I believe, and I've actually saw it one time, it was a cold front, but I was dragging an old, just the old style cameras, you know, those water, those aqua views and stuff. I saw fish that were actually buried right into the bottom of the mud. And when that camera came by, they'd spook and you'd see a cloud go away, you know. But I believe they can actually sink right down in when they want to, too.
Well, I've actually seen with, I run LiveScope in my boat, Garmin LiveScope, and I've actually seen where crappies are holding really tight at, on top of a crib or below the base of it where they wouldn't come 3 feet from it. But if I could move that bait within inches of the fish, most of the time they're going to come up and grab it, the bigger ones. And it becomes a, you know, and with a sonar like that, you can do that. But normally if you're just fishing, it just the kind of luck of the draw, whether you can get it, you want to cover that water around that piece of structure really good.
Yeah, I agree.
How about bass fishing? You know, that's something that we don't talk about a lot on the show. We do some, but, you know, that our bass fishing up here is something that's really good in the summertime. And, you know, people want to just catch fish. You know, say walleye fishing is better in the evening. Well, what are you going to do during the day? Well, bass fishing is pretty good if you just want to catch fish and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually, bass is it's a good backup fish, I guess, when the conditions are really hard. You know, you can get, if it's really hot and calm, that's kind of a good time to maybe look at bass, definitely. And I always am fishing some pretty heavy weeds or weed edges, but you're still kind of targeting walleyes and northerns that way also. So I always try to keep an open eye on all of it when I'm doing it.
Well, yeah, especially smallmouth. The smallmouths will be right in there with the walleyes, too. So if you're fishing the right type of structure, a lot of times you're going to catch, if you don't catch a walleye, you're going to catch a smallmouth, and nothing more fun than catching smallmouth.
Agree. Yep. There. I think they sit side by side down there.
Well, Chuck, a lot of good information there. You want to give out some guide information? Somebody looking to hire you as a fishing guide this year?
Yeah, sure, John. It's just Chuck Rolls Guide Service. Phone number is 715-699-2045. And we got some openings, so yeah, it'd be a good time.
Well, thanks a lot, Chuck.
You thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking summer muskie fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700. Hey folks, the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach on Highway K between the Big Lakes has groceries, ice, beer, liquor, and pop, and now has all new tackle and bait supplies. All the current antiques and household items are now on sale and all must go to make room for the sport shop. That's at the Log Cabin Store in Northwoods Beach between the Big Lakes.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and on this part of the show, we're talking summer muskie fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen.
Well, Steve, you know, once the water temperatures get up there into the summer peak, any good tips for guys out there in catching, finding and catching muskies?
Yeah, absolutely, John. You know, it really becomes about covering a lot of water and hitting a lot of spots. As the summer progresses and the fish do get turned on, we will see a good summer bite. Well, we call it the summer peak, so to speak. And it's actually usually when you see those first big females of the year really start to feed well. Really, my game plan is when I know the fish are active is to cover a lot of spots and to fish relatively fast. So I'm using quick-moving lures, things like the bucktails and faster-moving topwater, and I'm trying to cover a lot of ground, hit a lot of spots through the course of a day.
There is a time, though, guys should be thinking about camping on a spot, though.
Yep, you bet. And there's, you know, there's the school of thought where once I do know that there's fish on a spot, a lot of times I will return to that spot numerous times throughout the course of the day, just waiting for that feeding window to open. The nice thing about the summer period is with the warmer temperatures, the longer days, you usually see a few more times throughout the course of the day where those fish turn on. So it's just a matter of being there at the right time.
Yeah, water worms, they have to eat to make up for what they burn off.
Absolutely. You know, their metabolism is increasing. They're a cold-blooded creature, so the warmer the water is, physically, the more that they need to consume to maintain the calories. So they're actually feeding more times per day and more days in a row.
How about night fishing?
You know, that starts to turn on usually about this month, usually middle to end of July and all the way through August and September. I enjoy night fishing. It can certainly increase your odds on the bigger fish at times. It's no cure-all. You know, it's just another good time or another good tactic to try. Some years the night bite is very good and some years it isn't. Typically when we have a really hot, warm summer, the night bite will be very good. In the cooler years, usually you don't see quite that, you know, hard of a bite.
And you usually just fish just like you did during the daytime.
Yep. The only difference that I really make for night fishing is to slow everything down. So I'm slowing my boat movement down. I'm slowing my lure movement down. And I'll choose a handful of spots where I figure the fish are or that I know the fish are at. And then I will work those very slowly and thoroughly.
You know, bucktail, in my experience, bucktail is a good bait at night, but they tend to attack a bucktail different at night than they do during the day.
Absolutely, and usually my first go-to lures are spinners, the cowgirls, any double-bladed showgirls. Spinner baits can actually be very good after dark, but the fish, a lot of times, they will inhale them, so you got to be ready to have the right tools to unhook them properly, keep them in the water when the water is warm, and just be ready for a deeply hooked fish, because sometimes at night they will really eat them.
But what you mean by inhaling them? What I meant is that a lot of times they come up from behind it and
absolutely
overtake it rather than take it to
yep
the side.
So what they do, John, is they come up and they position right behind it, and they will simply just overtake the lure coming in from behind, where during the day a lot of times they'll wrap around and try and hit the thing from the head. So at night when you're slow rolling those big bucktails through the weeds, a lot of times those fish will get them, you know, very well and get them good and deep.
And the strike feels different.
It does. A lot of times it's just a little tick and a thump and the rod loads up, as opposed to the daytime strikes where they really will whack it. So anytime I feel anything weird after dark, I'm setting that hook.
How about suspended fish? When do you expect to start concentrating on fish a little bit deeper?
You know, that's certainly starting now. Usually we see that as the water warms, and a lot of times it's just a matter of what my electronics are telling me. If I'm starting to see a lot of panfish and fish suspended off the edges of the weeds on my electronics, and a lot of times I'll move my boat out and start fishing in those areas. If I'm not seeing a lot of bait fish on the sonar screen, then I'm usually fishing structure.
You know, that's one thing I think a lot of fishermen out there, whether they're fishing panfish or walleyes or muskies, they do not understand or don't take the time to try to learn to understand their depth finders to the total extent of what they get capable of.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people ask me when I'm up in a 10-foot weed bed, well, can you see fish on your graph? Well, no. When I'm up in the weeds, I'm seeing the structure. I'm seeing the weeds. When I'm out off those weed beds, the electronics become an invaluable tool because you can see exactly what's underneath you. I know when I'm in an area that has a lot of fish, bait fish, other fish, big predator fish will all show up on my electronics, so then I know I'm in the right area. So when the fish are tight into the cover, a lot of times it's more of a visual thing. You actually have to see them with your eyes, see the schools of bait fish, see the schools of panfish to know that you're in the right spots. But when the fish get a little bit deeper, certainly electronics are the way to go.
There's a lot of good information out there on the internet, YouTube videos and stuff to help people understand that depth finder, that electronics, plus the fact that if you was to go out with a guide, most of the guides can show you too.
Oh, absolutely, and that's something that I do with most of my clients, is show them what I'm looking at, why I'm looking at it, what I think that it is, and try and give them a little better picture of what's happening under the water.
You bet. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for taking the time here. And why don't you give out your guide information, too?
Yeah, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on the web through fishhunts.com, or you can call me on my cell phone at 715-558-3709.
Well, thank you, Steve.
You betcha.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.com.
And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.